بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I greet you, beloved brothers and sisters, with greetings of peace in the paradise in the beautiful Arabic language, the language of our forefathers. Assalamu alaikum. I'm very grateful for the invitation to be with you this afternoon and to speak briefly on the education of the oppressed. I thank Dr. Siddiq for his very generous and warm introduction, and I'm grateful to all of you who are present at this moment. The topic that I've been asked to speak on is a big topic, but I've been speaking and preaching on this all of my life, I can say. If I go back and just look, it's been part of me for a very, very long time. So let me keep myself in bounds by reading and sharing with you a few notes that I have here. I moved recently, as Dr. Siddiq has indicated to you, from Pennsylvania to Louisiana. And most of my things, my books and papers and notes, are still in boxes. In my house right now, there are more than 275 boxes that have not been unpacked. So I just grabbed from my computer a few things that I had on my webpage, and I'll use those for notes this afternoon. First of all, let's get a definition of what education is. Education fundamentally means the accumulation of knowledge that will enable the possessor to lead him or herself out of a low state of condition to a higher one. I hope that you got that. Let me read it again. Education fundamentally means the accumulation of knowledge that will enable the possessor to lead him or herself out of a low state or condition to a higher one. Such an education benefits the recipient. Throughout Africa and the diaspora, a worldwide system of European-centered education established over the past 500 years following the fall of Granada in Spain and the coming of Christopher Columbus to the New World has not and is not providing this kind of education to the masses of the people. And this includes all of the oppressed populations in America and in other parts of the world, and the poorer parts of the European population in America. This is what I'm referring to as people not receiving the kind of education that will benefit them. What the masses are receiving is an education which does not benefit them, but which conditions them to acquire attitudes toward the glaring inequalities or inequities of life so that they can adjust themselves thereto with the least possible difficulties. And when this fails, especially for the males, the uneducated are placed under the control and supervision of a vast prison system. Imam Omar is well acquainted with this, as he has worked in that field for quite a while, quite a long time, and knows it in and out. Presently, what I just referred to is occurring on an ever-increasing scale, thereby deepening the crisis in the proper education of the oppressed, and consequently denying them the kind of education that would give them the upward mobility and the kind of education, including basic education in mathematics, science, engineering, and technology necessary for the maintenance and building of a nation. At this point, I'd like to point out some of the key ingredients of proper education of all people. Every people has its own culture and history. The proper education of every people, therefore, has to consider the culture and history of that people. Because today, the culture and history of African people in America and throughout the diaspora are not properly considered, there are very serious problems in the education of African people. And since mathematics, which is a key and a foundation of education, not only here in America but throughout the world, all education in all of the areas, there are problems on top of problems. Almost all of these educational problems flow from the lack of knowledge of self, which is primarily due to the enslavers and the colonizers' systematic robbery of African people, in particular, of the knowledge of themselves, and they're teaching the enslaved and the colonized to admire and even love the enslavers and the colonizers. Now you may say, how in the world can they do that? Well, it's not difficult when you destroy the mothers and the fathers of the enslaved and the colonized. You then give them the education that you want them to have. And this has been illustrated in part by something that we've heard earlier today, that the government, the FBI in particular, would call in, say, imams of our communities throughout this country and tell them, the immigrant communities in particular, they have a problem with the African American communities, and tell them what they want them to teach. But let us look at this thing in a little controlled way so that we can understand it better. If you take the mind of a people away from them by their losing the connection between themselves and their past. You bring into being a new people, a people without proper knowledge of themselves. When you take a look at America today, the huge African population in America, almost that entire population is in the names of the enslavers, those who kidnapped them and put them into slavery. They don't have their names. My name, before I became conscious of who I am, was Cross. That was the name of a slave master. And so my mother's husband had that name, Cross. My biological father's name was Drawhorn, and that's the name of a slave master. My biological father didn't know who he was until many years later. I was blessed to be a preacher of Islam in Birmingham, Alabama, and he happened to come to the mosque that day, and I am preaching. So he stood up. And before he passed away, at the age of 87, I gave him the name Abdullah. And in honor of my father, I then gave myself the middle name Abdullah, that I'm Abdul Aleem, and Abdullah is my father, and of course Shabazz is the family or the tribal name. So what we are saying here is very real, and we can go into details whatever, but I want to formally complete my little dissertation, a little interaction here in this topic, the education of the oppressed. Now, the oppressors know very well that they cannot oppress a consciously awake people. Thus, they developed and erected a worldwide system of white supremacy based upon the false concept of race, giving rise to the five so-called races of mankind: the European, the white, the Mongolian, the yellow, the American, the red, the Malayan, the brown, and the Ethiopian, the black. And the order in which they are mentioned is the order of descending worth, with white at the top and black at the bottom. This system was born of force, massive killings of human beings, slavery, colonization, segregation or apartheid, discrimination, rape, robbery, distortion of history and outright fabrications, and operates in all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. To maintain and justify such a system, the oppressors, by way of massive pseudoscientific propaganda, defamed Africa and her people. Over time, this relentless and all-pervasive and ubiquitous system robbed African people of the true knowledge of themselves, their sense of self-worth, their sense of nationness, and of the sense of their historic destiny. Without any doubt, the principal barriers to the proper education of African people is everywhere presence, is everywhere presence of the so-called color line, which underscores the all-pervasive presence of white supremacy and black inferiority. This problem is still with us, but it's solvable by massively teaching the truth that humanity is one. That's number one. I didn't bring my Quran, but I'll refer to the, I have it over there, I forgot to bring it up here. But there is a verse that everybody quotes and reads, and I've heard it so many times from the beginning of my coming into the to Islam, and they read it, but I don't believe they really understand what they read. And so let me just read this to you. This is an interpretation of Yusuf Ali. And it's the chapter 49 and the verse is 13. O mankind, we created you from a single pair of a male and a female and made you into nations and tribes that ye may know each other, not that ye may despise each other. Verily, the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is he who is most righteous of you. And Allah has full knowledge and is well acquainted with all things. Now I want to point out something from the commentary of Yusuf Ali, and read a portion of it. It's difficult, this printed, it's very small here. But he says their tribes, races, and nations are convenient labels to which we may know certain different characteristics, and so on and so forth. Now Yusuf Ali, as so many of the learned people of our time, are also somewhat carried away or blinded by the language of the times that we live in. So they have adopted this concept of race. Now, I've been preaching against this for more than 50 years now. I think I started 50 years ago teaching against racism and race and white supremacy, et cetera, et cetera. It was a creation that is relatively recent, you know, this idea of race. And I think you can go back to maybe the latter part of the 18th century when they, in Europe, and it was in Germany where this, I won't say it started, but at least it was developed to a high level, to a level of a science. but pseudoscience. It was not real science, but pseudoscience. And the concept was brought into being in order to divide people throughout the earth against one another, but primarily to justify the rape, the robbery, the enslavement of the darker peoples of the earth and take what was under their feet as control of that. So if you really want to understand why this thing has developed to the way that it has, to the degree that it has today, that's what you have to look at. Africa is in the heart of, say, this the universe that we live in, this landed universe. And there's wealth on top of wealth, but the first wealth that they took away were people to develop and build another world for Europe, to create the means by which those who did not work could enjoy the goodness of the world through the work in the enslavement of other people. So, if I, for example, had just one or two people who worked for me year in and year out from sunup to sundown, I would be well off and wouldn't have not have to work myself. See, and not that I would want to do that, but this is what, I mean, you can see the use value, the utility of what happened, how America became the great America that she has become today. You can see how that occurred on the backs of people who were taken from another land and brought into this land, robbed totally and completely of the knowledge of themselves and given other labels, and people who would read about them in other parts of the world would not even know that those people are their people, that they came from them. You have, say, John Jones down in Alabama or Mississippi being lynched by John Jones. And so they were wondering, what's going on here? But these Europeans killing one another? No, they did not know until they came and saw, until the news went back to them, that indeed there were a whole nation of people here. Now we are more than 40 million in America. I believe it's more likely 60 million or more here in America under these labels that are not our own labels. Now, educationally, the problem can easily be solved by truth. And the first truth that we have to preach and teach our people throughout the world, this land, is that humanity is one. Humanity is one. All people of the earth walking on this earth today came out of Africa. They're Africans. They migrated to various parts of the world. And all of this is well known, well documented. I mean, I don't have to create anything. This is something that everybody knows. That all people, Europeans, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Koreans, the Russians, came out of Africa. Schopenhauer, one of the great philosophers of Europe, once wrote that Europeans are nothing more than bleached out Africans. Africans who've lost their pigmentation. This is what he said. Oh, Schopenhauer. And many of the great European scholars pointed this fact out as well. And many of them taught that Africa was not a dark continent. The Europeans made it dark by raping and robbing the continent and then preaching lies about it. There's one of Europe's great philosophers, Hegel, a great philosopher, giant in philosophy. He wrote and taught that Africa was on the level of a baby, not even on the threshold of civilization. He knew better. He knew what the truth was, but yet he preached and taught this, and teachers, scholars, the world over, especially in the Western world, studied this man and adopted these ideas about Africa, that she's primitive and not on the level of anything. The great historian, Arnold Toynbee, supposed to be one of Britain's greatest historians, wrote that of all of the 20 civilizations that he had analyzed, not one of them was created or contributed to in a large measure by the black man or by Africa. He said not one of them. Now he knew better, but this is what they taught. And people who read books believe what the scholars say. So the scholars make the best liars. So if you want to get over a lie, let a scholar tell you the lie. And then you believe what the scholars have said, what they've taught. So I want to push on here. So humanity is one. That's the truth that we must teach. And by doing that, we change circumstances of people. All of the arts and the sciences originated in Africa. All of them, all of the arts and the sciences came out of Africa. And this can very easily be shown. And we have to teach that truth. The oldest book in print is an African book. They say that Africa had an oral tradition, that they didn't write things down, but that's a lie. There are texts that exist today, and some of them are in museums throughout Europe and Russia. There's a Moscow papyrus, for example. There's a Rye papyrus in the British Museum in London. These are African texts. So the oldest texts of mathematics out of Africa, the Rye mathematical papyrus, the Moscow papyrus. These are mathematical, parcels that came out of Africa and they're in museums in other parts of the world, in Europe in particular. All languages originated in Africa. Every language that is spoken by man today came out of Africa. Arabic is an African language. Hebrew is an African language. It came out of Africa. French, Russian, Spanish, Romanian, Japanese, Chinese, they originated in Africa. And there are scholars of language, these linguists, who have gone into great detail showing the movement of language throughout the world, which corresponds to the movement of people throughout the world, and all of this leads back to the original being in Africa. So the original of the early man, the first man, can be tracked in many different ways by language, and by anthropology or archaeology, and in other ways as well. So we need to teach these things to our children and our young people so that the barrier that's in front of them today in learning these subjects that are necessary for one to be so-called educated will be knocked down.
Questions and answers, Dr.
Shabbat? I'm almost through with this formal thing here, and I'm watching the time. Another one of these things that we have to do is religion itself. You know, the way that we practice religion, and if you go back and you find the origins of this is in Africa. The ways of life that we practice in the world, all over the world, it has an African root. And I'm emphasizing this because Africa has been so debased, and our people have been so debased that their just automatic biases and prejudices are directed against them, that it takes a lot of doing to uncover these terrible things so that people can give everyone a chance and opportunity. All of these false concepts that we have acquired about race and human beings can be destroyed by the truth. But this has to be done systematically in all of our schools and in all of our media. And with the acquisition of the essential knowledge of the basic core subjects in education, the problems of educating the oppressed populations in this country and in other parts of the world will be eliminated overnight. And by so doing, we shall be able to build strong communities in the Americas as well as in Africa. Then and only then will justice and respect come to all of people of Earth, including the oppressed populations in America and depressed populations in Africa. And this would be what we call the new day for the whole of humankind. Education requires that the teaching of it and the promulgating of it, teachers who have the not only the knowledge and understanding, but the will to teach all of the children, all of the youth, in an equitable manner. And that's really key. Do we as teachers, do they out there as teachers have the will to teach all of the children and all of the youth? And if they have that will, and they have the knowledge and the understanding, they can become effective teachers. Now I'll stop there because time is up.